For most Americans, September 11th was both a national horror and a geopolitical awakening. It was almost impossible to absorb that 15 of the hijackers were Saudis, the citizens of a country we'd always been told was our best ally in the Middle East after Israel. But in the fall of 2002, when Saudi Arabia started to lead the Arab campaign against a war in Iraq, mainly because it was worried about its own stability, Americans started to come around to the fact that they'd just been plain lied to about Saudi Arabia. A decade earlier, during the Persian Gulf War, the Saudis had opened their door to U.S. forces. In 2002, America found itself begging Qatar, the host of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, 9/11's mastermind, to provide a base for our invading forces. As if Americans needed more evidence, perhaps 4 in 5 of the 650 or so al-Qaeda prisoners being held incommunicado in the Camp Delta prison facility at the Guantanamo Naval Base in Cuba, the worst of the worst, according to Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, were said to be Saudi nationals. Every day seemed to bring some damning new revelation about Saudi Arabia, many connected to the royal family. The wife of the Saudi ambassador to the U.S. had handed out money that found its way to two of the 9/11 hijackers. A raid on the Hamburg apartment of a suspected accomplice of the 9/11 hijackers had turned up the business card of a Saudi diplomat. The two Saudi hijackers who arrived in Los Angeles were met by a Saudi on the payroll of the Ministry of Defense. Other Saudis fed the ATM machines for the hijackers. When NATO forces raided the offices of the Saudi High Commission for Aid to Bosnia, founded by Prince Salman, they found before and after photos of the destroyed U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania, and of the World Trade Center, when it still stood at all, and of the USS Cole, as well as files on the use of crop duster planes and materials for forging U.S. official identity cards. In November 2002, the Saudi embassy in Washington gave the finger to the State Department and federal law officials, providing a fresh passport to the wife of a suspected al-Qaeda sympathizer and slipping her and her 5 children out of the U.S. after she had been subpoenaed to testify before a federal grand jury. As the facts against Riyadh mounted, the Saudis couldn't refute them. Instead, they reacted heatedly. In a rare press appearance at the kingdom's Washington embassy, Adel al-Jubeir, a foreign policy advisor to the crown, complained, "We have been assailed as the kernel of evil, the breeding ground of terrorism. Our faith has been maligned in ways that I did not expect Americans to ever do." In the meantime, Naif continued to do nothing, pretending Saudi Arabia had nothing to do with the attacks. As of this writing, 1.5 years later, there hasn't been a single Saudi arrest that helped us get to the bottom of September 11th. It would somehow all be a lot better if Saudi Arabia were some romantic kingdom ruled by a wise, benevolent king and a royal family with a sense of noblesse oblige, but it isn't. Starting at the top, King Fahd is close to brain dead, incapacitated by a 1995 stroke. Crown Prince Abdullah supposedly fills in for the Fahd, his half-brother. But the truth is, Abdullah has no real power. He is mistrusted and despised by the senior princes, the cabinet ministers, and his authority is checked at every opportunity. Fahd's favorite wife, the Jawhara al-Ibrahim, and her spoiled megalomaniac son, Abdulaziz, Azuzi, Diri, as Fahd calls him, run Saudi Arabia. Jawhara alone has 24-hour-a-day access to Fahd. She decides who will see him and who won't. She decides which decrees he will see and which he won't. For all practical purposes, she decides the general course of Saudi internal and external policy. For all we know, she decides how much oil will be pumped or completely cut off. Like royals anywhere, the Al Saud are enormously resistant to change. They don't want to admit to the rot in the kingdom. In particular, they don't want to talk about the fact that Fahd's stroke has set the country adrift. They also do not want to talk about the fact that the importation of foreign labor has resulted in large numbers of Saudis out of work, encouraging them to spend their time in the mosque being indoctrinated for jihad and righteous murder.